You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Paddy Aspel with you on the latest edition, looking ahead to the best of Tuesday's action. Going to focus on two races at Redcar. We've also got some cracking National Hunt action to look forward to on Tuesday with the Halden Gold Cup from Exeter. And of course, we're not going to talk about it on this podcast, but if you're listening on Monday night, make sure your bets are on in plenty of time ahead of the Melbourne Cup coming up at 4 a.m. on Tuesday morning. So if you listen to this on Tuesday, we hope you enjoyed it. But here at William Hill, we're paying six places each way, so if you are listening on Monday night, there's still time to place your bets. As I said, Alex and Paddy with you. Paddy, how are you?
Yeah, good form, Alex. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Now, you're going to Redcar tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, Redcar tomorrow.
We'll be discussing a couple of races there shortly. But we start, as ever, on the racing podcast on looking ahead to Tuesday's action with the Monday jury, stolen shamelessly from the Racing Post. And it is centred around, unsurprisingly, the Breeders' Cup this week. We start with question number one, Paddy. If you were in Khalid Abdullah's shoes, would you go again or would you retire in Able?
I think one thing I took from watching the Breeders' Cup the other night, because you've got these, I'm trying to think what the angles are called, like the drone cameras.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, it shows, because of the different rulings that they have in America and obviously France, they have so much more room in races compared to the UK. Mm. I mean, I'm not saying it's any less competitive, because you know this is the cream of the cream as regards as far as racing goes. But when you had them drone angles, you were just seeing how much time and how much space jockeys had. Then again, look, you've got to have the horse underneath you as well. But I mean, she had a hard race in the arc, and we both know the second was an unlucky loser.
Yeah.
But Frankie openly admitted afterwards that really, it was the first time she'd ever emptied out on him, and he was really glad that the line came when it did, because you know she needed it. But you know, that was on the back of an all-weather prep after having an enforced absence, so she was entitled to run out of puff in a race of that stature. But I thought the other night, it was, you know, because Frankie mentioned beforehand about how cut up the ground was round the inside. So, you know, he's taken himself on a fairly deep trip round there,
yeah,
purposely, you know. But one, he knew that he was on the better ground, and two, he knew that he had the animal underneath him.
She's got nothing to prove now, though, does she?
She hasn't.
So would you just say, right, thank you very much, you've done all you need to do for us?
Well, what age is she now?
Four.
I mean, the thing is, you look, both her and the second from the weekend, from sort of about a furlong and a half down, they've had a proper set too, you know, and they put some, you know, a hellish distance back to the third, you know, in a race of that grade, having covered so much ground. I mean, look, if she was mine, if connections were different, you'd probably retire her, because God, what a broodmare you'd have for the paddocks. But you know, connections being as they are, they've got plenty to go to war with, and they will have for the future. They'll never be short. But I thought, on the back of that effort the other night, if all is okay with her,
yeah,
I would go again, because that was a real, real top end performance the other night. And I mean, if John Gosden is able to keep the wheels on, if she was mine, I would go again next year.
Okay. What did you make of the Breeders' Cup Classic won by Accelerate, closing off the Breeders' Cup on Saturday?
Yeah, very, very fast run race. Mm. I mean, I thought Ryan Moore's horse emerged with great credit, because Mendelssohn, he's had his foot to the floor from early doors. And to be fair, you watch Accelerate, you stop the race from turning out of the back, Accelerate was absolutely flat out.
Yeah.
You know, and his jockey was really having to to just keep the revs up to hold his position. But the way he came on the bridle as they turned in, and he just picked it up. And same thing, he was sort of taking the route that Frankie was taking out on the better ground, but still covering more ground.
It was a brutal contest, though, wasn't it?
Oh, it was brutal, yeah, there's no doubt. But, I mean, you stop the race turning in, and then you stop the race crossing the line. Hellish performance.
Yeah.
You know, the gap he's put between the rest of them. Look, I know the Mendelsohn, obviously, he weakened out with the major money close home, but that was always going to happen, but still ran with great credit, and the Godolphin horse also. But... yeah, accelerated. Was he the horse that was very tricky to get into the stalls beforehand? Was he the last to load? Because the last horse to load was very, very tricky.
Possibly.
I think he could, because he was drawn very deep, wasn't he?
Mm.
Accelerate. But there was no doubt his attitude in the race.
No.
But, you know, there was no hiding place, that's for sure. But maybe the distances were exaggerated the way the early fractions that were on offer in the race, the winning distance was a bit exaggerated, but still very, very good performance, and you know, I enjoyed it immensely.
Do you think we saw a European or US Classic winner on Future Stars Friday? I mean, the two that you'd probably focus on here for us would be East.
Mm.
It was very impressive.
Yeah.
And Newspaper of Record was also very, very impressive.
Mm. I mean, I think really East was just picking up the pieces.
Mm.
Still, look, it's a very good run.
Yeah.
I mean, a horse who's low mileage and a great performance from the Kevin Ryan horse, but really it was the winner first, and the rest were in a heap and just picking up the pieces. And same thing, you know, Jamie Spencer was coming home on the better piece of track as well. But I mean, I was at Newcastle Friday night, so I didn't pay as close attention as the Saturday stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I think obviously It's fairly obvious to say that the European and the home team had a far better day on the second day, didn't it?
Yes. And final question from this Monday jury: what's your favourite race course in North America and why? Firstly, I'd say, have you ever ridden over there?
No.
Not once?
No.
To watch is the one that stands out to you, or? It's interesting. On in the Racing Post, Rab Havlin, he goes with Woodbine.
Mm.
He's ridden there in Canada. Paul Moran says he's never ridden over there, but it's Santa Anita seems to be getting a lot of ticks in boxes, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably go along with Rab Havlin there, maybe. To watch, I like watching Woodbine. You know, I know you're up quite high there, and but still, the standard is so good. But I think when the bad weather arrives, it can really get... It can get beyond a joke, really, the surfaces there, compared to how our surfaces here can cope with that sort of weather. That weather there, just it's not very pretty on the eye, and I'm sure, like, we watched, it just shows how much of a master John Gosden is as regards surfaces, because he flagged it up straight away about the grey horse, didn't he?
Roaring Lion.
Yeah, not facing the kickback. And I mean, Roaring Lion absolutely never featured in any shape or form in that race the other night, so the kickback must be pretty severe.
And we hope the Roaring Lion has a long and successful retirement. He's been one of my favourite horses this year, but I think they've just about got it right. They went one more time, it didn't work, but they've gone, right, fine, you owe us nothing, basically.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
Yeah.
We're going to focus on two races at Redcar now then. Paddy, heading to Redcar tomorrow. How many rides have you got?
Couple tomorrow.
Okay. Any chances?
The first one is out of the weights, but the one later on at Vitam for Suzanne France, that would have a little chance.
Okay.
Typical red cars, plenty of runners. I rode there at the last meeting. The ground was very, very poached and soft. It's just typical back end ground.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're looking at the red car card tomorrow. There's no shortage of runners.
No.
Please for them, you know, because they do a good job. And it's just getting to that time of year where the ground is what it is.
The 155 is the first race we're going to focus on. 7 furlongs the trip for this Class 4 handicap. And I believe your selection arrives here in cracking form, the only last time out winner in the race.
Yeah, Paris Mountain. I mean, he won at Catrick last time under the excellent Jason Hart, which, and one thing I probably would point out is there isn't many jockeys that ride Catrick better than Jason Hart.
Mm.
So he did have that in his favour, got the run of the race from the front. But nonetheless, he backed up a previous good effort where he just looked like he was starting to threaten again, where he finished third, and he loves a little bit of cutting the ground. I rode a catch it that day, and there certainly was plenty of juice. They were getting their toe well in, But he was nicely drawn, and like I said, did get the run of the race, but nonetheless, he was very strong to the line. He absolutely bolted up, to be honest. He's got the penalty to carry tomorrow because they reappeared 7 days later. But Jason Hart is back on board again. It's much of a muchness. Tim is represented by his old horse, brother. Well, I say he's old. He's only four, Brother McGonagall, but he seems like he's been around for ages. Mm. But he has been struggling to get his head in front this year. And so I would say Paris Mountain for me is by far the first string tomorrow. And like I say, Jason knows him well. He'll keep it simple. Obviously, he hasn't got a bend to go around tomorrow. It's just a straight seven. But the fact of the matter is, he arrives here in form. He loves cutting the ground, and you know, he just looks like a horse that's hitting a bit of form at the back end when races can lack a fair bit of strength and depth. So I think he could go back to back tomorrow.
Okay, it's Paris Mountain. Tim Easter, by the way, has another one as well, Alla Raig, in that. So be disappointed if he doesn't land the spoils in some way, shape or form. We're hoping that Paris Mountain can win now. And the other race that we're going to focus on is the 3:35 handicap over a mile and six furlongs. And this is a pretty open affair, Paddy.
Yeah, it is. But I've sided here with the course and distance winner, Cario, for Steph Kinneary and Liam Kinneary. He got his head in front here the last day. And I think they actually had him in a pretty... He might actually have been in the big race at Nace yesterday, but he didn't make the cut. So Connections obviously rate this horse quite highly. He ran a very good reappearance at Newcastle on the all-weather over 2 mile, where he just sort of suffered a bit of... It was just a bit of crowding running to the line, really, and his jockey was fairly limited as to what he could do that day. And then at Catrick next time, they shaved a bit off the trip. Liam was on board that day at Catrick, and he was only beaten by the narrowest of margins by a Newmarket horse, and they drew quite nicely clear of the third. But he made no mistake last time, because they got him out quite quickly, so he was able to race off the same mark at Redcar. He didn't do an awful lot once he hit the front, Cario, I'll be honest. He looked like he was going to go and win by a fair old margin, but he only just did the bare minimum. But the handicapper hasn't really been too severe this time. I think he's 3 or 4 pound higher, but nonetheless, he's shown a liking for the track and the ground. And Liam is back on board again tomorrow, and for a yard who's doing very well, I think they have found him another winning opportunity here.
Okay, so a carry of the pick in the Redcar 3:35. Good luck, Paddy, and same to you, listeners. If you are having a bet on Tuesday, also take a look at the Exeter card. The Halden Gold Cup promises to be a cracker once again. That's coming up at 2:05.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.